Tired of retirement planning? Feeling like a tangled mess? Don't worry, you're not alone. Today's episode dives into the challenge of securing protected income for your retirement. We'll break down the complexities and show you how to navigate this crucial step towards a stress-free retirement. And we have a special guest. So we start right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade. Fred Sade.
The complexities of retirement of today and how Fred helps remove a lot of the mystery of retirement planning. That's our subject matter, as Fred said, with a special guest on Money Matters USA, episode 150. Fred Sade, founder and managing director of the fiduciary firm of the same name, Money Matters USA. Fred holds a PhD in economics from Duke University, and his focus is retirement. And what a great focus, too, and a needed focus with 11,000 Americans every day turning 65. As Fred said, we have a special guest. He is Corey Carver, who is Director of Business Development for Magellan Financial and Insurance. So welcome, Fred. Welcome, Corey.
Welcome, Dave. Welcome, Corey.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here.
Glad to have you.
This is going to be, Corey's going to join in the conversation with you, Fred, to show how retirement of today is different and what is our proper approach with retirement planning of today.
Well, I think you have to be realistic, but that gets us into the first problem. You know, we're all schizophrenic. We all have multiple personalities. For
right.
Some people, it's worse.
It's not just
than
me.
For others. But, you know, the research from Shlomo Ben Artzi at Santa Clara University, which is a private school, even though it sounds like a state school. And what Professor Ben Artzi showed was that people are schizophrenic about their present self and their future self. So they can't say anything about their future self other than to address their future self in the third person. And they talk about what he will do, what they will do, or what she will do, but never what they themselves are going to do. And I guess, you know, people have work hard, they work all week, it's very stressful, and then they don't want to go through the process of retirement planning. And that's unfortunate because we really have to face up to the fact that once we stop working, that check doesn't come in. So whatever money you have managed to accumulate, that's what you got. And the question is, number one, will it be enough? But let's say for the sake of this conversation that it is. So now we have to say, how are we going to derive income? So when you present income, you really are talking about two forms of income. One income is promise-based income that's reliable, dependable, and often guaranteed. And the other form of income is probability-based, which depends upon what that money is invested in. And it's probability-based because there is no certainty that you will actually receive that. So now you have the problem, really, of how do you replace your paycheck. And the other way to really look at the probability side of it is that these are assets that you don't need for income today. It might be discretionary. It might be to counteract inflation. You might need it for growth. And if you are so inclined, you may want it for charitable planning, which can be very effective, but you do need to be charitably inclined. Or you may want to leave a legacy. Now, if you're single, you may not want to leave a legacy. You may want to spend down to the last dollar. And if you're married, maybe you do. And maybe you after you have provided for your spouse, you may not want to provide for kids or grandkids. You may feel, hey, you know, I did a lot for them while I'm alive. I gave them their inheritance, and right now I'm just going to spend and enjoy life. So when I've thought about this, I've asked myself, what are the goals of retirement? And then I've tried it out on clients and prospective clients to see how this resonates. Now, maybe it's not scientific. I mean, I didn't hire Greenwald to do a scientific thing, but I think what I'm about to say is accurate, that people have what amounts to, I believe, three goals in retirement. They need income, they need cash flow, and it has to be predictable and reliable. It's not like you don't have to have an income. You do. If you're alive, you need income. You need income to live. You're going to have bills. At this point, I don't want to, you know, have the conversation of your bills going to be more, or are they going to be less. The fact is, I think we could all agree, is that you're going to have bills. Some of them are mandatory bills, like light, power, gas, gasoline for your car. Well, maybe not in the future. But anyway, there are essentials that you just, you know, can't get around. You need food. You need a place to live. And all of that has to come out of income. And you also have to have some free and uncommitted cash flow, which you can save for other expenses down the road, which can be voluntary expenses such as travel. On the other hand, it could be, say, the dishwasher and the dryer goes out and the washing machine goes out, or maybe the roof needs to be repaired or replaced, whatever. There are always things that are going to come up. You also need liquidity. You have to have free cash flow that's not needed for income. This is very effective for the reasons that I just indicated, but also to counteract inflation. And this is a very, very effective way because people don't always want you to inflate their assets based on historic rates of inflation. Obviously, there are some things that don't inflate. A fixed mortgage, a fixed car payment, they don't inflate. But there are other things that do inflate, but people may object to that. So, and it also depends on which software program you're using. Most software programs are not flexible enough to manage increasing expenses. So if you have sufficient additional cash flow, that can be very effective. So let's say you need $8,000 a month. And let's say that's what you were spending before you retired. The first 3 years of retirement, you're going to be spending about the same amount. So maybe you want to have $10,000 or $11,000, and so you've got $3,000 or $4,000 of uncommitted cash, which you can save or have to. So it would be available for contingencies. And then finally, you need to get the growth on your assets. And that can be done in a lot of ways, but most people are probably going to want to look at some sort of safe withdrawal method, which we can talk about. Or they might want to use dividends. That's a pretty standard way for people to invest in dividend stocks. I have a client who calls himself a dividend hound because that's all he invests in are dividends, and he's very happy doing that, and he spends his time just looking for dividends. So to sum this all up, you need three things: income, you need liquidity, and you need growth. And this is essential in any retirement plan.
Corey, and I know that what Fred is saying is certainly something familiar with you. What are some ways, we talked about retirement is different. What are some ways that it is different, and what components do you see are necessary?
Well, that's a great question. And really, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. And in my role here, we get a look at all the carriers. We get to see, you know, I work across all the states. And so we get to see a lot of different situations and a lot of different ways to do it. And really what I will say, and it's no secret, that the interest rates today are just off the charts compared to what I've seen in my career. And today, people can accomplish so much more with guaranteed income that we will get into here in a little bit with, you know, I call it a discounted dollar, because we looked, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and there's probably anywhere, you know, a 20 to 40% difference in what you can accomplish income-wise by using some of our products. And I know Fred, you know, Fred brought up the withdrawal strategy. We also have advisors that use that. You know, you put in money, you accumulate it, and you draw off a certain percentage year over year, depending on needs. And so there are a lot of different ways to accomplish that. But really what I primarily focus on are using fixed interest rate products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people will use the market, some people use fixed interest rate, and some people will use bank instruments to accomplish those goals.
Well, you looked at Fred, and you can speak to this too. I know we're all familiar with Bill Bingham's 4% rule, which he himself has backtracked, right, and said that that's not, it didn't hold up, in other words.
Yeah. let me just say what Bingham's rule is quickly. What he's saying is, in a portfolio that's 50% bonds and 50% equities, you can draw 4% every year, and after the first year, 4% plus the rate of inflation, and you can do that for 30 years. Now, Bingham doesn't care if the market is up, down, or sideways, and he doesn't care about what the tax situation is. If you live 31 years, you're out of luck. Your portfolio is now at $0. Now, you're right, Bingham has modified that. He's talked about the need to be more flexible and to adjust. So in good years, you take more, in bad years, you take less or none. And that's highly effective, but then it runs into the probability is that people aren't that swift in being able to adjust their expenses. Now, they can make David Blanchett has done some research on this, and people can make some adjustments, and what becomes mandatory becomes discretionary, but there's a finite limit on how much of that you can do, and it also depends on what stage you are in retirement. That go-go, slow-go, no-go concept, which Blanchett did not create, but he did popularize the concept. And so your ability to make these adjustments is significant. And then Blanchett and Dr. Finke then talk about harvesting larger amounts of money from the portfolios in good years. And then not taking anything or minimizing for bad years. Now, there are lots of studies that have been done, starting with Wade Fowle in 2010, studying Bingham's 4% rule. And I think there are two issues with the 4% rule so that we can start to transition. And that is, one is Bingham never anticipated, and that's not a criticism. He articulated the rule in 1994, and you didn't have the same longevity as you do today. And the second issue is that you have black swan events, unpredictable adjustments, unpredictable downturns, drawdowns, and so on. And none of these were really prevalent. You had low rates of interest. You had a lot of continuity, you had minimal volatility, and stocks behaved like stocks and bonds behaved like bonds, and bonds were a check on equities. So, yeah, that 30-year deal did work. It doesn't work anymore. Now, there are a lot of different withdrawal rates strategies, but there are three primary ones. I call one SWIM, and which is the systematic income withdrawal rate, where you provide income. We gave Bingham's as a 4% But there are other variations of that. Then buckets, which is laddering time segmented buckets of money. That's the one that I tend to prefer. And I also prefer the retirement income floor, which is a promise-based floor income using products that will give you promised or guaranteed forms of income. Now, I feel that for many people, you can use all three. They don't have to be silos, but some people will not agree that they should use a combination of these. Some people prefer the promise-based income. Others prefer systematic withdrawal. Others prefer bucketing. The real issue, and now there were two studies that, hit on this issue that came out a couple of months ago, one, independent of each other, one that was done for Allianz and a second one that was done for Corebridge. And the key findings of the two studies, which absolutely agreed, independent of each other, was that people were more afraid of running out of money than they were of dying. And that this tells you quite a bit, because this is the real fear. And people who are using some kind of withdrawal strategy and refuse to use promised income get into a situation where they have to worry constantly about money. Now, it's a hard way to describe your golden years as saying, do you want to go through your retirement worrying constantly about money, worrying constantly, am I taking too much? Can I take more? If I do this, will I run out of money? I mean, you get into all of these questions, and it can make you a nervous wreck. Now, there's some research that just came out from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, and they have a very powerful website. It has a lot of resource for financial professionals, but also for consumers. And what they found is that 59% of financial professionals decline to provide promised income solutions. There's lots of reasons for that, and it's beyond what, you know, we should talk about. But if anybody is interested in it, they can go to the Alliance for Lifetime Income.org site and look at the study and see the reasons that people have for refusing, for declining to provide income about information about promised income. Another 40% of consumers say that they would leave their advisor if the advisor refused to provide them with promised income solutions. And finally, the other interesting stat is that 63% of people in retirement who own one or more annuities are less pressured, and they have more freedom to spend income because they don't have to fear that they're going to have money pressures, because every month the bank account fills up. So they have given themselves the freedom to spend money, which people who are using a withdrawal strategy sometimes need to be encouraged to spend money. And I think last week, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Dave, I think last week I gave an example of somebody that we're working with right now, and they're coming in later this week, where they actually didn't believe that they had enough money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can see where, you know, it's like that personal pension, really, with the demise of the private sector pensions. It's kind of the replacement for it, and certainly would give you more confidence in your spending in retirement. Got to take a quick break here. We're back with more. We'll bring Corey in. Actually learn about Corey Carver, who is Vice President of Business Development for Magellan Financial and Insurance, and we'll learn about Magellan as well. Still to come on Money Matters USA.
Now, sir, this is the top of the line in new to used automobiles. It's got one of them air induction hoods and a 270 air conditioning system.
Now, wait a darn minute, the hood doesn't close all the way.
Yeah, that's the air induction scoop.
And the air conditioning doesn't work at all.
I just got to show you how to operate it. What you do is, while you're going down the highway at about 70 miles an hour, you roll your two windows down. Then that's that 270 air conditioner I was telling you about.
You know, a lot of brokers and advisors use creative wording to trick you into buying financial products that don't meet your needs. Call Fred Sage today and set up a free consultation and get a clear, concise plan that will meet and maybe even exceed your retirement goals. Fred Sage at 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188, or moneymattersusa.net.
We're back with Money Matters USA, consumer advocate Dave Perkins, along with Fred Sage. Fred Sage, of course, founder and managing director of the firm Money Matters USA. Fred, as we mention all the time, is someone who is with a focus, a laser focus on retirement planning. A great need for that. Retirement is more complex today, and it's longer than ever, so you need to plan for longer. Corey Carver is Vice President of Business Development for Magellan Financial and Insurance. Corey, if you take a little time, if you would, and tell us about what you do for Magellan and about Magellan Financial.
No, yeah, sure, Dave. Thank you. You know, as I mentioned, I've been doing this for about 25 years, and I've been around the block a little bit. I started out as an advisor, went to the insurance carrier for a little bit, and now I'm with what you call an IMO, which is Magellan Financial, and that stands for Independent Marketing Organizations. Mm-hmm. And really, if you look at our industry overall, there's there's the financial institutions, there's broker dealers, there's banks, there's independent or career type shops. And we really focus on the independent side. And how we operate is, if you think of insurance carriers, they're just not infrastructurally set up to deal with the agents on a one-on-one basis. Mm-hmm. Now, they do it to the best of their ability, but they use intermediaries called, you'll hear them called different things, IMOs, FMOs, but really we're just the wholesale organization for the insurance carrier. So we represent approximately 30 carriers, you know, probably over 300 to 400 different insurance products. And our focus is to work with independent advisors and give them a scenario or give them a product that fits the specific situation that they're working on. So on a day-to-day basis, I will probably talk with 20 different advisors. Mm-hmm. They will run a scenario by me, and then I'll run through our list of products, and we'll go back and forth and make the ultimate decision on what the best product is for that particular situation.
And Fred, it's nice to have that to turn to, because what your goal is, of course, to match everyone up as a fiduciary, especially with the best strategies for them.
Yeah, Corey's my strong right arm.
Okay, he's your go-to guy.
Yeah, he is. Let me set this up for Corey. Wade Fowle wrote two articles. He wrote one in the Wall Street Journal, and then he wrote another one in a Advisor publication. And essentially what Wade said was, you have to be very careful if you're using a systematic withdrawal strategy not to double count the asset twice. And what he is saying is, let's make this simple. Let's say you have $1 million that you've managed to save and accumulate, and the safe withdrawal rate right now, if you've got extended longevity, is about 3%. Now, Morningstar does a monthly thing. It goes up and down. It's like a seesaw, a teeter-totter. And so on 3%, you would get $30,000 a year. What happens And what Wade Faust says is that you have to hold that money captive because you can't afford to spend it. Because if you spend it, then you would have 3% of a smaller number. So let's say we look at an income annuity. So let's say we take $500,000, and this is a low number right now, as Corey pointed out, because the interest rates are higher, the payout rates are higher, but let's say it's 6% on a husband and wife joint life income. They started at age 60. This would create $30,000 of safe, guaranteed lifetime income, and that frees up another $500,000. So you only need $500,000 to produce the same $30,000 that $1,000,000 would produce in a safe withdrawal strategy. And this is really a big, enormous difference. So if you had $2,000,000, you'd have $1,000,000 that's tied up and $1,000,000 that you'd be busy, you know, investing or trying to get more growth or whatever you were doing with that. But this is part of the power of an income annuity. In other words, what are you trying to do? You're trying to buy the most amount of income that you can get for a given amount of money, and you want to do it at the lowest possible cost with the greatest efficiency. And the income annuity will do just that for you. So, Corey, could you tell us why, not why, I think I've made a case for why, but you tell us what the difference is between somebody who says, well, I want to buy a multi-year guarantee annuity, and would that necessarily be a better choice than buying a fixed income indexed annuity with the intention of drawing income? What would be the difference between the two?
Well, that's a great question, and I do see it from both sides. And, you know, really, we talk a lot about risk, and even in the fixed annuity space, there are different levels of risk. And you brought up what we call MIGAs, multi-year guaranteed annuities, and this is your CD lookalike. The major difference, obviously, is that we provide tax deferral where CDs don't, but overall, it's the same concept. And so, you know, if you have a five-year fully guaranteed at 5%, and you're withdrawing off that, it's certainly not a bad strategy. However, we can today guarantee lifetime income at a much better rate. And, you know, I did a couple numbers while you were talking, and if we had a couple that was 65 years old, as an example, we can guarantee them right under 8% on both lives for the rest of their lives. Wow. And then I also went and looked at a couple that's 70, and that's right around 8.7% guaranteed for the rest of their life. So when I mentioned earlier about having a discount on your dollar, if you don't have a pension or if you have a gap between what Social Security is providing and other assets, this is the time right now to really take a serious look at guaranteed income, because you can really, you know, Fred gave a great example of using the 500, and you still have the other 500 left to use for inflation if needed, to use as a legacy, really whatever you want to use it for. But we are 100% guaranteeing a specific amount of income to cover your, you know, your daily needs. In a rate that we've never done it before. And I just think it's powerful to take a look at that. And I'll also throw out another challenge here. You know, half of the business that we are doing right now, if not more, is looking at people's annuities that they've bought in the last, you know, 3 to 10 years. And with the interest rate that they purchased those in, we are substantially giving people more income. So if you've had an annuity in the past, and whether you're drawing income on it or not, you know, give Fred a call and take a look and see if we can better your current situation, because I would say you know, 7 times out of 10, we are putting clients in a better situation today with the annuity that they bought 3 to 5 years ago or more.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredibly powerful, because the high interest rates influence the amount of money that the rate at which the insurance company can pay out, and that means that the amount of money that you will actually receive. Now, one of the criticisms, I mean, there's a guy on TV and cable who says that he hates annuities, even though he's in the annuity replacement business. And one of the criticisms that people make, which has some basis in fact, but, you know, say that annuities are complicated. Okay. And then we get into lots of disclosure that people don't understand. As I've been told more than once, can we skip over all that stuff and let me just sign? That's not a good idea, because something will come up in the future. And then all of a sudden they'll say, well, you never explained this to me. I didn't know that this was going to happen. Well, as you pointed out, we can control annuities, including all annuities, but especially the fixed index annuities, allow you to control risk, but it's impossible to eliminate risk. So you do get a principal guarantee. The question is whether or not you buy any riders, and the riders might, the riders are going to be charged to you whether or not that you have any earnings. So could you explain, you know, some of the crediting methods that are done, and and also the fact that you do get an interest bucket, and also these new trigger options to so that you don't have to, you know, be in a zero position any longer.
Yeah, I'd love to. I read a lot of articles. I see a lot of, you know, misconceptions about mm-hmm. annuities in general. And a lot of the times there's a mixture of what we deal with is fixed annuities and what you might see on the security side, which is variable annuities. And the one thing that I'll say here is, you know, you brought it up a little bit, and any fee that comes on the fixed side is what I call self-inflicted. It's because you either bought a benefit, you know, got maybe a bonus or got some kind of value for the fee that you're paying. So, you know, I want to dispel that myth right out of the gate that, you know, again, there is value for the fees that you pay. As far as crediting, there are a lot of different ways. And the one thing that I do want to make clear, especially when we're talking about fixed annuities, because I think it has got lost over the last few years, is at the end of the day, these are savings vehicles. You know, they're not investments. Our goal here is to beat the fixed market by 1 or 2% and give you a nice, comfortable ride where you protect your principal, as you mentioned. And then if there are additional benefits, those will be there for you. So when we do talk about interest crediting, there are a lot of different ways to get there. You know, at the end of the day, these products are built to guarantee your principal, and there's mechanisms inside the contract to do that. Secondly, there are different ways that you can get the interest. One would be, obviously, you can pick a fixed interest rate. Every annuity that I know of has a fixed interest. You can pick that, and then as it changes, you can make different decisions down the road. We also have what's called indexing. And now your money's not in the market, but it's going to follow a certain index that is out there. And there's different ways that they use calculations to get you get your interest credited. Probably the most common one is a cap. So what they will do is, because they protect your downside, they cap what you can get on the upside. So as an example, and I'll use the S&P because everybody knows that. Let's say you have a 10% S&P cap. You get anything up to 10%, and anything over goes away. So nobody gets anything over 10%. You get up to that. The other common one is what they call a participation rate. And simply what that is that's what you participate in what the index does. So again, as an example, if you have an S&P index, let's say the par rate's 50% for easy math, and the S&P does 10%, then you would get 5%. So you participate in 50% of whatever that index does. The last one, at least overall, is what they call a spread or a margin. And really, that's just, so it, again, in my example, let's say you have a 2% spread on the S&P. The index does 10 again. They immediately take 2% off and you would get 8. And so that's what the spread would do. And now you mentioned trigger, and that's been something extremely exciting. And it's I wouldn't say it's completely new, but it's becoming more widespread. I'd say probably 5 or 6 different carriers have added a trigger this year. And the way that a trigger works, it is primarily with the S&P, is they give you a rate. And so let's say that rate is 7%. If the S&P is flat or positive, whatever it is, you get that 7% rate clean and free. No other what I call levers are attached to it. Whatever that rate is, if the S&P is flat or positive, you get it.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of, the trigger makes a lot of sense. The other thing is, if as you pointed out, if people buy riders because they want, you know, some additional benefits in the contract, then you can put money into that fixed rate, into the fixed account, to at least counteract the expense charge that's going to be made regardless of whether you have earnings or not. So. And I love the trigger option because it does give you not complete certainty, but some certainty that if the index, as you pointed out, has any gain, you get the full amount up to however it's capped out at. And that's effective, plus maybe another index. It's a pretty good idea to have 2 or 3 indexes at any time, in the expectation that at least one of them, maybe 2 of them, will credit for you. But I mean, the key here really is if you buy the multi-year guarantee annuity, you're getting a certain interest rate. You can annuitize. It's about as close to 100% certainty as you're going to get. And if you want the fixed index annuity, as you point out, you have the potential of getting additional index credits higher than you're going to get in the multi-year guarantee annuity. But you have the possibility that you might not score anything in a particular year. On the other hand, once you turn the income on, you do get the mortality or longevity credits. And because the interest rates are higher right now, it means that there's a better possibility that and living longer. But even if you don't, because of the higher payout rate, you've got greater probability here that there could be a legacy for your family in the event of premature death. Now, the longevity credits do something that only an annuity can do, which is pay you the income that you are receiving, even if the account's at zero balance. And there's no other thing that you can buy that's going to pay you if you have no money in your account. They're going to say, well, come back when you have more money. And, you know, the bank is not going to let you withdraw on an empty account. You can't withdraw out of a mutual fund if you have no money in the fund. And the other thing about annuities that I like is they're safe in the sense that you can't lose the money. It can't be stolen from you. You can't make an investment mistake. If you have a fixed index annuity, and maybe you could speak a little bit more to this if you would, You don't have to. If you're invested in the market and the market has a correction or drawdown, you have to recover. There's a recovery period that you have to go through in order to get back to where you started from. But with the fixed index annuity, there's no recovery period because your worst case is you'll zero out, but you don't lose your gains. You start from where you last left off. So there's, even if you had 3 years of negative market returns, and if it started, and if it was positive in the fourth year, you would just continue from the point at from the last point of gain. So there's no recovery, which you would have in any other form of investment in the market. You'd have to recover. So while you're getting back to where you started from in the fixed index annuity, you're just clocking the gains. So it's possible. And in fact, I have these slides which I use usually in the second or third meeting with the prospective client. I show them the impact of how the fixed index annuity operates, and that even at a lower cap over a 10-year period, depending on the 10 years, of course, but over a 10-year period, that cap product can actually outperform the market, particularly if it's the S&P, which is highly volatile. Corey, do you have anything you might want to add to that?
I think that is one of the biggest benefits of annuities, and it isn't discussed a lot, but what you're referencing is called annual reset. It's a great mechanism inside of FIAs, and you're exactly right. And I'll put some numbers to it just, you know, for simplicity purposes. You know, let's say you're in an index and the strike price is 100 when you get in. As you mentioned, there's a downturn. And let's say it goes down to 90. You would credit zero for that year, so you didn't lose any money. And the best thing about annual reset is that your strike price for the next year will start at 90. So any kind of rebound or upward movement, you will experience some gains in your contract because of that feature.
Yeah. I have a number of slides which I demonstrate how this works, you know, in every case with caps, with the participation rate, or with the spread or margin, and how that works. And you can actually show how, even at the lower amount, let's say it's a 6-7% cap, participation, or whatever formula they're using, you can still outperform the naked index. And wind up with more money once you take out the probability at somewhere along the line you're going to have a drawdown or you're going to have a correction. And if you like in the 2007-2008 period where you had a 50% drop, I mean that's an enormous get back, and then you have the drawdowns that we had in February of 2 years ago, and all of a sudden the market came down, and then it has to come back up again. So for some people, you're never going to convince them that they should have an annuity, but they're the same people that they wouldn't give their pension back or their Social Security back. They want them. They just don't like the name annuity, which is why Dr. Malevsky coined the phrase pensionize some of your money because he didn't want to use the word annuity because of the negative connotations that it has. And Thaler also coined the phrase the annuity puzzle, where he said from his research that, yeah, people want all the benefits of the annuity. They want that predictable income guaranteed for them in the fixed annuity. And the income they can't run out of income. They're going to have it as long as they live. And there may be a refund to a survivor or a surviving spouse. But they don't like the word annuity. I mean, if you called it something else, which is Malevsky pensionizing some of your assets, the thing of it is, and this is one of the things that they teach at the American College, and that is that you use assets that you've accumulated to purchase income. And when you're buying income, you're trying to create what's called alpha. In other words, there's alpha, beta, gamma, but the beta and gamma is a Morningstar invention. It's the same as beta, and how much gain you got over the market. But here you're just trying to get gain out of your fixed income, and you're also trying to get a tax benefit. And between the two, in retirement or going into retirement, you really have to sit on pins and needles that the market doesn't turn against you, because you don't have any paycheck coming in. If the market turns against you and you're drawing solely from the market, then it increases the chances that you're going to run out of money during your retirement.
Well, and hey, if the word pensionize is more palatable, more power to us. It's just important to make sure that you've got the right strategies in your retirement of today. I want to direct you to Fred a couple of ways. 800-593-8188, 800-593-8188, the website moneymattersusa.net. Be sure to click the red light on the dashboard tab and learn how Fred can implement in a custom fashion and fiduciary manner his red light on the dashboard program. Click podcast and hear the other 149. It's listening on demand. We've got a write-up on each. Thanks a lot, Corey Carver, Vice President of Business Development for Magellan Financial and Insurance. Corey, a pleasure having you on today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And thank you for coming on.
And Fred, we'll drop 151 next Friday. Thanks so much for being with us on Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.